Bill has been so awesome in contributing on the Essential Works TV platform and doing courses and helping with some events. And the amount of information he has collected has always impressed me, because he's not limited to any single school. I think he seems to be pulling from different schools, and it's always been wonderful. And that's why, basically, I feel like you have to get one of his courses to see the extent of this broad information, set of information he brings in, to help you get more connected into the deeper aspects of yourself and those entities who can help you. But I'm sure we'll get into that right now. But how are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Michael. It's very good to be here with you today and everyone. And
I've got a lot of questions for you, because I mean, I'm endlessly curious about all these subjects that you get into. And it feels like you have so much information that I know we have limited time, maybe an hour, so we can't possibly cover what the kinds of things you get into, and we can't do the full guided deep dives into the Akashic records that you normally do. But I think to start out with, and maybe just get a good sense of how your life has evolved to the point where you got to this point, but at the very earliest stages. Like, was there a time when you would have poo-pooed the things that you've gotten into at this point in your life?
I think so. Yeah, that's a very good way to put it, Mike. There was a time when I was in the rock and roll world and the fine arts industry, and I was like, I mean, it was all heavy ego. It was, you know, just the presentation, the rock and roll. I mean, it was just like, it was all, you know, full steam ahead, just more. And it was all, there was a lot of confrontation. There was a lot of competition. And that's normal and natural for an ego-based, you know, and we can say our world works that a lot in that same way. And so there was a part of the ego that says, no, man, this is it. This is who I am. I don't want to ever lose this part of me. So as I started to transition in, I started to ask the ego, and I said, you know, maybe let's just give it 30 days. And I was doing a Create Yoga intensive, level 3, where they asked to let go of the ego for 30 days. And I said, you know, let's try this and see how it goes. And this interesting thing was, I checked in at the on day 30, and I went, that's really interesting. I'm still here. I don't know what I was so worried about. So it's a gradual and transitional stage for us in life. But the ego can, and we know the ego will do anything in its power to divert us sometimes, to keep us, you know, blind and kind of slightly off our path.
Yeah. That's an amazing revelation in itself. The idea that you could say, I'm going to take a break from my ego, and then have the willpower and have the self-awareness to actually put the things aside that have been your identity for so long.
That was like a challenge. It was, yeah, that was my first like conscious practice with, and then everything. And I would say, long range, even up through the now, there has been like different layers and levels of doing that work, because, you know, we can't get rid of our ego. We just have to learn how to befriend it, to teach it, to guide it like a little child, the unconscious primal self, and kind of nurture the unconscious primal self so that it starts to work in harmony with the nervous system that's receiving information from the higher self and the higher mind and the higher dimensions, as well as everything in the body, all the impulses in our world, with so much going on. You know, we're being impacted by social media and current events, world events, etc.
Yeah, that's also very interesting, that we have different layers of ourself, that at least the part of ourselves that we call ourself is our body. But I assume our bodies are connected to these broader fields that we don't see, these unconscious fields that dip down deeper and deeper. And that's like a rabbit hole that we go down when we start to try to understand What are we connected to? And are we even separated when we get down to the core levels? Are we all one consciousness?
I think the answer is yes to both. You know, so we are connected with everything, but we are also here in an individuated form for a very specific reason. And there's another part of that that I think is important, and we can, you know, go into that, or we can touch base on it at least. But the statement I want to make is that when you're studying the Akashic records and you're going into that, you're trying to find your balance. Is the earth, you know, is the earth where the ego is, where I'm here, is this more important, or is heaven more important? And I think when we get into spiritual studies, we start thinking, oh, the universe and the heaven are infinitely more important than the earth plane and where I'm at. But there's a balancing with it. And I think that one of the things to sort of bring in is that this is very important. Everything that you're doing here is very important and is a counterpart to the Akashic. So you're there, you know, we're up there, and there's a part of us that's up there right now. And we're sort of the avatar on the playing field of Earth. And this is equally as important, because there are certain things in heaven that can't be done. They have to be done on the earth plane. And so we come down here to do that.
Yeah, that's starting to go deep down the hole of, for people who haven't heard of the Akashic fields, the Akashic records, we could probably start to, I could probably start of just asking a little bit in terms of what I initially started learning about was basically when I first started waking up to all this stuff was 2007, and I found out about the Edgar Cayce readings through heavy research on the internet, and then I was just devouring the Edgar Cayce readings, and you know, he had a different kinds of material that he would touch on based on what people seemed to be ready for, and some of it was mostly health knowledge, some of it was like a lot of Bible scriptures he would just start pulling from the Bible, and I found that, you know, his interpretations of things were always a little bit more beautiful than what I had heard. He was thinking in terms, always reading in terms of the lessons that people were going through, and seeing kind of everything in terms of the growth and the lessons and healing, healing being of mind, body, and spirit somehow integrated. But so the Akashic records seemed to be the way which he was getting this information, that he could just go there. And I don't know if he needed an intermediary to do it. It was as though there was just this information source, which seemed to have this timelessness to it, such that this health information that he didn't have to learn in his lifetime, it was like maybe even people in the future, like so much of the information he pulled in was like stuff science has only started to demonstrate, especially in the health, the alternative health information that he was pulling in. So it seems like he was pulling information from the past and the future. He was going into past lives. He's going into future health knowledge. It's like it was a timeless thing. So it's like if there's a timeless thing we have connection to, that must be like exponentially more helpful and important and informing what we're doing now than the finite temporary aspects of our reality.
I agree with you, Mike. Yeah, that's his path was, it was very interesting, and it was definitive in a way that could have been ordained by heaven or creation or the higher beings for him to be sort of placed. Like he was, the cosmonaut that earlier, you know, and he was the one that coined the phrase Akashic Records. Before that, we had Akasha, which is one of the tattvas in Indian study. It's a tantric, symbolic, colorized geometry that they would focus on, and they would go into the different elements. And Akasha was, there was earth, water, fire, air, and Akasha, which was the culmination of all of them together. So Akasha, which also was the Akasha library, you know, and he came in with the term Akashic Records. And so when he came in with that, now the way he, quickly here, the way that he got started was he was living in a remote area of Kentucky close to the Tennessee border where there were no doctors. And he was naturally intuitive as a child, growing up on a natural farm and everything. And the grown-ups would this messages come through or be able to heal. And he could actually heal animals and stuff too. So he kind of, he got into that. Now early, so he, you know, his family, his grandmother, his parents, they were, they acknowledged this and they didn't like shun him for doing it. It's just like the community kind of went, well, you know, he's just special. He's got a gift from God. And so as he went into his early 20s, and he started to, people were kind of guiding him and, you know, you should be a psychic. You should try to get yourself out there. And it was challenging for him because when he tried to do it from that place, he kind of bombed a few times, you know. I mean, it was hard for him because they were like, oh, here's this, you know, snake oil salesman, because there were a lot of sort of how a lot of people were looked at kind of like gypsy in that day and age. And so he went into it for a while. Finally, he ended up going into the medical intuitive, which was based on his earlier years. And that really sort of started to catch him. And he was called the sleeping prophet because he had a little couch that he would lay down on, and he would take a shot of brandy. And I'm not encouraging everyone out there to drink, but that was that's just what he did. Old school, would take a shot of brandy and would lay down on the couch, get relaxed, and he would go into the REM state, and he would go into the records. And if you visit the center in Virginia, there's like thousands of case studies that are in place where he like wrote, you know, help people to heal. From there, he went on to become very well known on a world level. He had to travel with bodyguards. You know, people wouldn't leave him alone. They're showing up at hotels, you know, hey, I need to know, you know, he was a clear channel for the records. And I got into his work early, and I read a couple of the books, and I you know, strangely enough, as big as it is, and I can, you know, I really, really have a lot of respect for him, it didn't speak to me. And that was, and I didn't know why. So, because I was so connected into the records at the time. And I just had to take it as, well, my guides that are there and the way that I'm supposed to bring this through, I became a practical teacher of the dynamics of the records. And it's something that he didn't do. And he just had a different path. Everyone has a different path.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard the idea that maybe he even kind of killed himself by overdoing it with just trying to do readings multiple times a day, helping as many people
really
as possible, just focused on only readings and staying in that unconscious state. Might have been drawing from him
mm-hmm.
too much or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's an amazing story. It's a little actually hard to access the raw records, but you got to like pay a subscription fee. But you could probably find them on the internet in a lot of places too. But but anyway, we can get into more into what you're doing too. So, like,
sure.
How old were you when you maybe would have even believed that you had something like a psychic or intuitive ability?
I didn't know. I had like this unasked question mark that was following me around. And as a kid, I mean, I got into art. I was a natural artist, and I could just paint or draw whatever I wanted to at whatever size I wanted to. And I didn't understand why it was so natural, but everybody was like, oh, you know, it's going to be just froze up, you know, and I thought that too, you know. And I got into music to escape the small town that I grew up in, you know. Is when I got into my teenage years, I was like, oh my God, this place sucks. You know, I mean, it was just like, in how many of us in our teenage years think that, you know, where if we like stayed there and grew up, we would say, you know, this is probably a really cool place. You know, it's quiet, it's calm. People are, you know, more squared away than they are in the city. But when you're a teenager, you want to get out and see the world. So I wanted to jump into rock and roll. It was light, sound, color, action. And I got into that. And again, I could play whatever I set my mind to. So it seemed that I was, I had this creative ability that I didn't really understand. Now, when I, after years that I got into the arts and the music professionally, and then I started to look at it and I said, there has to be an information, there has to be an energy connected to the other side of this. And that's when I said, there has to be more than this, because yeah, the money was there, the ego was there, the, you know, the entertainment factors of it all were there, but I wasn't happy with it. I said, there's gotta be more. And I want to find out what that is. And then I found out about the Ascended, the Masters, Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East was the first book set that just like blew my mind. When I read that, I was like, okay, that's it. Game over. I'm shifting gears. And I went towards that. And I said, that's, I mean, that was a hard stop. That was a hard left or a hard right or whatever you think, you know, call it. That was a hard shift for me. And I was just like, nope, nothing can tell me different than what I just read. I knew it was real. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And part of that is because some of us, and maybe more than a few, and dare I say many of us, have lived past lives where we've done mystical things and we've been with masters, or we've actually even been a master ourselves and been able to conjure energy or move energy and heal people and to channel and to write. Maybe a lot of us were philosophers, mystics, psychics, seers, healers, researchers, on and on.
Yeah. It certainly seems like we're in a much more materialistic, at least in the West, more materialistic age where the potentials of spiritual seeking are very, very undervalued, underappreciated, underestimated. Even in the Christianity, there's you know, a smaller number of Christian groups that pursue those things, and they get labeled New Age, and they get thrown out of the other denominations.
Right.
And
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because they get so close. And you know, it's interesting, the more that you study and the more you go into it, and you're developing your individuality and your oneness and your acceptance and everything, releasing to some, you see the metaphysical crowd, the spiritual metaphysical New Age, what, you know, call it whatever you will, and they have a piece of it, they have a big piece of it. And then I listened to some of the Christian groups, and I'm like, they are so close. They have a piece of it. They have a big piece of it, but they don't talk. Oftentimes, they don't talk to each other, you know.
Yeah.
And the practices, the habits, the, you know, the idea, the emotional, the gratitude and forgiveness and things like that, that are practiced in Christianity are powerful. But when the only thing that really holds them back is when they have to say, it's only this way. It's only that if you don't do it this way, you spark. And
yeah.
That's sort of like being in junior high, you know. That's sort of like, you know, if you're not on our team, then you're not going to make it because we're going, you know. And
well, I guess it's
so,
fair to say, if the heart of Christianity is the life and teachings of Jesus, and if the life and teachings of Jesus were somehow included in that book you read, the Life and Teachings of the Master of the Far East, I'm pretty sure Jesus was in that book, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, absolutely was. And Buddha was. And there were other masters. And here's the interesting thing that I've that book showed me initially, was we have these contemporary spiritual masters from around the world. We have Sai Baba and Jesus and Mary and Merlin and all the ones that we know and call when we work with. There are so many thousands more of these masters that no one knows of, that just either they're like local to India or other regions, or, you know, they're living out in nature and they're just so at they're living at such a high vibration, they don't even care to interact with the rest of the world. But this is a dynamic that's been being shown to us. And here's a good segue into the work here. That's a dynamic. It's not because they're special, which they are, but it's also the universe is showing us through humanity that this is a dynamic, this ascension, these ascension properties are something that this is where humanity is heading. If the right version of reality can shift itself, the alternating realities that seem to come in and flux with this intended reality that's moving forward through the event horizon of the universe for humanity, if we can continue to grow in the right way, we're all going to start waking up and we're all going to be at that level. And many people have said, well, you know, they're trying to hold us back. They're this, it's the, you know, it's the food products, it's the EMF waves, it's the dark aliens, all of that. And that's probably true, you know, but it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to be in conflict or fear about that. We just have to acknowledge the light and say, well, either we're going to get there in this lifetime, which would be great, or we're heading there eventually. So bring it in, you know, be knowledgeable about it, trust, keep practicing, keep balancing, keep clear, and keep working on yourself, and realize that everything really is going to be okay. You know, everything is going to work out for the highest of humanity. I think what God's trying to do, God, universe, is giving humanity a chance to go in the direction of the angels and the archangels, which are very powerful beings, very powerful multidimensional beings through ascension. If we get pointed in that right direction, otherwise we just, you know, we get mutated. We, you know, we stay as slaves. I know that's a harsh term, but you know, we are kind of downplayed. And the thing is, we have this body dynamic and energy dynamic of all of us here has such great, powerful potential. So if not for the collective, then do it for yourself, you know. And, you know, sooner or later, we're going to see that people are going to start popping like popcorn. You know, we're waking up at different levels. And, you know, we see children coming in constantly at new heights and new levels where they're able to heal, manifest. They just know things. They're brilliant. They're just like, no, of course, it's this way. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could all be there, which is another age, another time and age that we're coming into. But
yeah. Yeah. Maybe I could tie this together a little bit with this idea of Christians will dismiss the idea that there's multiple ways when they say Jesus said that he himself is the way. But this way that we're talking about something that is universal as a way of ascending. The way is the ascension.
Right.
And so what I mean, your work is all about, you know, how do we get closer to this higher awareness, this higher light, higher love that Jesus was representing, and all this set of masters are teaching us. And I have this suspicion that, you know, when I, for example, read the writings or the stories about Neem Karoli Baba, who is one of the more recent ascended beings, seemingly ascended masters, who literally there's stories about him showing up again after his death. Like it was just like a ruse that he died, but he didn't take the path of trying to be known as somebody who was resurrected. He was just kind of like on the down low that he's still around. But it seemed as though, you know, his lifetime was just a reflection of the highest infinite source energy. And he's just kind of revealing that through glimpses, and people are just kind of getting like a mirror. And it's like everyone is on a different place. And that's one of the most fascinating things about him and Jesus is that they're not like pushing something. It's like they're asking, they're inviting us to take the next step, whatever that is, wherever we're at. It's like, what is the step that you haven't found yet? And I guess to get into that area, we might have to start talking about traumas and blockages. And I know that's a huge part of your work, is figuring out the traumas and blockages and how to get through that, and how the Akashic records help us with those. Do you feel like, you know, we have to identify things first before we bring them to the records and ask about them in the records, or do we go to the records to figure out?
Yeah, that's a great segue and a great question, Mike. I think it's okay for everybody that's listening out there. I think it's totally fine to go ahead and go into the records. I mean, to want to know, put your first foot forward, and get a reading, or come to the classes, do the work, get a book, start reading about it, and connect. You are 100% connected into the records, whether you believe it or know it. You are already connected. This is one of those things that you can't deny. It's sort of like the, and here I'm going to make another Jesus example here. So it's sort of like the atheist that has a near-death experience. It goes to the other side and is like standing right next to Jesus, knows who he is immediately, and goes, whoa, you know, and then comes back, you know, and what does that individual say? It was like, I was completely, you know, and that's just, I mean, that's just neither here nor there, but that happens. And so when you've got traumas, you can get, the thing is, our ego wants to hear a glamorous story. Okay, you know, oh, I want to check out my past lives. Did I do anything important? I've got like this big idea. Every time I go to the psychic fair, or the metaphysical expo, you know, every time I go, I sense it all. I feel it all. It's just like, I am so at one with all of this. I feel so ultra spiritual. And so then the ego gets like, it says, well, I must have done something important in a past life, and I want to know about it. So this is where you run into multiple Joan of Arcs, multiple Mary Magdalene's, multiple, you name it. There's just so much of that out there. And I'm not, you know, naysaying with anybody. It's just, if you have a feeling that you were connected with somebody like that, it can be a connection close to that soul will even give you the direct experience, like you may have been that person. So, you know, there's a lot of that, but so getting to your original question there, the conflict, you start unwinding the ball of yarn, you know, you just start unraveling and unpacking. The first thing you want to do is kind of go in and ask, hey, what do I need to work on? Who am I? What's my soul's purpose? It's totally fine to do that before you get into. Now, some people will say, well, I don't want to do that until I've went in and released the conflict. And I would say it's okay. Go ahead and jump in, because when you start the healing process, and here's the answer nobody wants to hear, and I certainly didn't know this when I got into it, the healing process is lifelong. The unwinding and the transition and keeping an eye on the ego and you know, being able to, it really is lifelong, because it goes from you to into working with your family and healing your family and helping others to heal. And so it's a very transitional state that you're always being called on with. There's always a new lesson or a challenge that comes up, but it's really, it's just a situation, and it's how do we respond to it? How do we react to it? And we realize you know, we get to a certain place, it's like, oh gosh, I handle that much differently than the ways that I would have 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, or maybe even last year. So people, when they see they are making progress, you know, so release the conflict, do the healing work. And I've gotten into that because I've realized that that is the main block with people, you know, and that's a good thing to incorporate into the work, Because if you're just teaching people to access the records, you can only go so far with it. You can say, okay, well, here's how you access the records, and thanks for coming to the class. And they're like, oh, wow, well, that was a great experience. And they go home and they never do it again. Just like practicing Reiki, say, oh, well, I'm a Reiki master, but I really don't use it. I've never used it. And I've heard that hundreds of times from individuals that come for a reading, So the thing is to use it to find a workable way to access this dynamic that you, this higher dynamic that you're connected into that has, it really has a lot of answers and powerful creative energy for you, to transform your life. We have to get in and start working with it in order to know how to engage it. And then the answers and the ideas and all of that, it starts coming through us.
So, just to get a better sense of how you view the Akashic Records, maybe I could ask a question which I've seen people share different perspectives on, is do the records, are they a storage like of personal soul agreements that we've made? And then do we change the records, or do we invoke an intermediary to assist us in changing something? Or is it more about us changing ourselves versus the records changing?
Both of those are true. So it's interactive. All of that is true. And that is a very important question, Mike. That's a very important perspective. So people want to know, well, do I really have free will? That's another thing that's alongside of those questions. And the thing is, one thing that, think of it this way. When we're in heaven, like when we're in the Akashic Records, the way station of soul, the hub, the library, and we're there with our higher selves and we're in heaven, we feel great. We could live forever because we're going to if we stay there. I mean, we feel the infinite energy, this great love. Oh my God, I feel so good. And they're like, hey, do you want to heal that past life trauma? You're like, of course I do. And do you want to heal? And would you like to heal? What do you think about that, thing from two or three, that pattern from two or three lives, or that was back in the Middle Ages when you slaughtered a whole village, or when you burned the witches, or when you burned as a witch and you came back and you were angry and you like took it out on so many other people and all this thing. And when you're in heaven, you're like, of course I want to heal that. So we agree. Which is, you could say it's a soul contract. So things are placed in our records. So it's like this soul is on, it's, they call it a soul evolution. And so the soul is evolving by coming down here and playing out different scenarios that represent new ways of, it's like, we're playing Spock chess, So on the old Star Trek, they'd see Spock and he's in the galley and he's got like there are like all of these different levels. And here he's up, and they're jumping down to. And so that's sort of what it's like. We're down here on the Earth plane, but think of it this way: you had a board game on the Earth plane in a different lifetime. And they said, okay, well, let's give you a different board game that represents the same thing. If there's different rules, different players, different situations, and you don't remember the old board game, you have to go back and try to remember the past lives once you get here. And I think some of us, once we get up there, we say, okay, note to self, I want to wake up sooner. When I get back down to the earth plane, because I know they're going to wipe my memory. Even though when we're up there, we can remember it all. We can remember the last lifetime, the lifetime before that, all of the different lifetimes, and we have no judgment, but we know what the situations were. And we get to actually pick and choose what we want to try to heal and work on. Now, somebody that's has had a lot of trauma, maybe they might say, let's just do this. Let's just work on this. And we're going to cruise you through life. And if we can just get that handled, you'll be okay. So these are the people who say, you know, I can handle this. And we know within ourselves where we're at. So there are other evolving souls that say, I want to do this and this and this. And they're like, okay, we're with you. You're connected to heaven. You're connected to your higher self. And really, here's, you know, for all the duality and the rights and wrongs we have down here, look at it this way. You can't screw up. You get in the game and you have a reaction and a response to it. Now, when we're down here, part of the earth plane in and of itself is to really to process that reaction or response. So we're like, oh my God, you know, I just experienced this and it feels so bad and it feels so terrible. And, you know, there's so much. This is a really interactive reality show.
So one thing a question I have about that. So it's like, it seems as though there's a reason we're forgetting these past lives. And it seems as though whatever it is that was going on in past lives, that was heaviness, heavy energy, we get to experience it in a new and different way with different people and in different situations and see if we can tackle it in a wholly different way. But I wonder if the reason that we have to go back and to look at past lives from time to time is because we couldn't figure it out yet and we keep failing to figure it out with the lessons that we set up for ourselves in this time. And then having a slightly higher perspective might, and maybe even just the willpower to seek what a different perspective would be, and in pursuing somebody like you and the readings that you do, which I want to get more into that too, how you help people, but maybe just having a window of insight into maybe I could look at this in a way that could give me a little bit more ability to forgive myself or others based on seeing it in a slightly different light. Otherwise it would like make sense that we'd be given like a book, like we're born with a book that's just in your face, like here's your life book, here's what you should be learning.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike. That's interesting. Well, here's an interesting, think about this. And sometimes I like to say things that are a little different than a lot of the mainstream studies are saying, or that other teachers are talking about. And I want to make just a little statement here to think about. Heaven wants us to be psychic. Heaven actually, so they want us to develop our psychic awareness, and not from, you know, it shouldn't be looked at. This is one of the things that's a little bit off. Now, psychic awareness can be misused. We know that. But in general, they know that if we develop psychically, that we're on an evolutionary path, that we're going to figure out a little more and a little more and a little more of the story. And we're going to start to develop. Most of the souls will do that. Some might go dark side, you know, and start going into that. That's just a whole other topic and ball game to go into. But basic, so heaven wants us to be psychic. They want us to be able to awaken. Well, the challenge is if they said, okay, here's the deal. We've just decided that everybody's going to be psychic. Then that could be a real hairball of a mess, because you're going to have people who are with no spiritual inclination for learning, healing, helping, service. And they're just like, hey, I'm going to use my psychic powers to better my ego right now. I'm going to get all I can get, you know? And it's going to be, so it's just going to, it'll take everything and just ramp it up basically at the same level it's already at, yep, on steroids. So that wouldn't be good. So for that reason, they have to say, well, we want everybody to be psychic, but we have to allow those who are willing to awaken at what level that they can. And so, and that's one of the integrative reasons why we have people like myself and yourself and others out there that are, you know, just helping to bring the information out slowly, because then it's going to be more natural. Then if it's time for you, Even if it creates a little conflict in your wake up situation, you're going to get it. You're going to move towards it, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense that we're giving ourselves more level, even chance to find the positive path for ourselves and stay on it. Yeah. And yeah, it kind of gets into the question of like, why do we choose the parents that we choose? And I mean, how could we even really understand that without a higher perspective? Like we're just carrying on all this stuff going back into the past, into the generational traumas, and like just passing it down from generation to generation, not understanding it.
That's very important. And oftentimes when I work with somebody in a reading and the information comes through to them, oftentimes it will be generational challenges, healing with their family or trauma with their family, and we'll do an ancestral healing session. Very often the second, you know, if I work with them two or three times or four or five times or whatever, oftentimes the ancestral healing is like the first thing that they want to work with. They're like, oh my God, I need to jump into that. Interestingly enough, if we sit with it and we look deeper and we look deeper and we look deeper, we'll find the reason why we are with that family. We'll find the harmonic resonance of why we ended up in that bloodline, you know. And this is a challenge when you have the celestial soul coming from, let's say, the Pleiades, that is, and that celestial soul may have been with you for more than one lifetime. It could have been with you for 10 or 12 lifetimes, but you've been chugging along through this body soul of this ancestral lineage that's just like chug, 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 chug. Not a lot of, you know, not a whole lot of momentum. But that Pleiadian, that celestial soul that's integrating with that body spirit starts to become activated or aware, and it says, okay, this is the time. So the soul can see on the other side, it can see the timelines, and it can see the past, present, and future. It's like, your soul knows this is the time to open and expand and grow right here in this lifetime. So, that when the celestial soul starts to waken up, this is when people often say, oh my God, I don't know why I've been like burdened with the trauma of this, you know, this earth family. I can't get along with them. And I just, you know, I can't love them. I can't forgive them. I don't know what to do. And I know all of that's wrong, but they just have so much. And so after I work with them and we're in that soul energy, finally we can talk them off the ledge in a way that can say, look, you know, you got to do the forgiveness. You got to do the letting go. You got to do the gratitude. Just keep working with it. You don't have to do it right now today. It's not like snap of a finger, but that's what they call it, practicing. And then we do the ancestral healing, and all of a sudden there starts to be a release or a flow that's starting to heal the other ancestors that brings a release to that person. And it can be powerful. And I would say, as that person gets some release, if they want to go in and practice going into the records, eventually they will be shown why they're with that father and mother, or that, you know, whoever like abused them, or whoever, and by no means abuse is not right in any way, shape, or form, but they start to see the harmonic, why there was some karma that happened last lifetime or several lifetimes ago that they signed up for upstairs. And they said, yeah, I'd like to work that out within myself. I'd like to work out that conflict, that karma, or come down. So,
And if people believe that Jesus was crucified, did Jesus carry karma? It's like we're taking on karma a little bit for other people on their behalf, our behalves, we're doing this together.
absolutely. Same dynamic. Same dynamic. We were, And, you know, that's interesting. That's kind of, I think that's one reason why I said, you can do all, everything I'm doing, you can do everything I'm doing and much more.
Well, I think it'd be good to get a little bit more overview for people who might want a reading from you or to work with you.
Sure, yeah.
What are all the ways in which you work with people? Is it generally just like they give you information about themselves and then you do readings, or do you help them go deep like a hypnotherapist would?
I do that. I have different ways that I can work on. If you go to the website, billfoss.net or billfoss-akashic.com, you'll see all of the readings and healing sessions available. And sometimes people want a reading, but what they really need is a healing session first. I mean, hands down, but they can't get to that within themselves. And so if they call me or send me an email and they tell me what's going on, oftentimes I'll say, I think what you need is a healing session to kind of sort the energies out, and then we can move forward. Now, sometimes they just need a reading, and it's different for every single person. So I try to, like, you know, so it basically, generally across the board, if somebody says, well, I don't know what I need, then I'll say, well, I think that we should start with a reading first. Let's do a reading, and then let's look at the possibility of anything else that you need. Now, besides that, I do offer the classes, and we have a class coming up, and I'll bring up a flyer for that here.
Yep, June 26th to June 28th this month, a couple weeks.
26th through the 28th. We have a Friday evening of June 26th, Saturday the 27th from 10 to 6, and Sunday the 28th from 11 to 6 p.m. Now, this is a Friday evening and all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So it's 8 hours on Saturday, 7 hours on Sunday. We do take a lunch and we do take a break at the top of every hour. But this is where you get to deep dive into where we do guided journeys. We talk about what you're getting. You get to ask questions and interact with. And this is where, you know, it takes time to really teach and work with a group on the Akashic Records to, like, really, we're building a case study of all of the past lives. And we're building a case study of how the soul field around the body is connected directly into the mainframe of the Akashic Records continually. And it's silent until you start doing this work and it starts to wake up. And this is one of the magics about work, doing this work, is when your soul field starts to wake up, there's a different part of you that you'll say, I don't know what it is, but I feel different. I feel more alive. I feel more energized. I feel more grounded. And it's because your soul field becomes activated. Now, this is something that has been kept from us largely over the course of the, you know, previous past ages. They didn't want people to wake up. And this is the main way to do it. This is the main way to get yourself one step closer to ascension, one step closer to releasing all of the trauma, and really connecting in and starting to do the work with the Akashic Records is. And there's multiple energy techniques. There's multiple journeys. We're also, let me show you one other thing here. So we want to welcome everybody. It's going to be $299. That's $300. That works out to about $17 an hour, you know, that you're paying for a master class. And we're going to be working from the new book, The Keepers of the Akashic Records. I'm very very happy about this book. This is probably the most powerful book that I've written, 10 publications, and number 7 as far as the books on the Akashic Records. And there's just so much in here about healing. I've had clients and people contacting me right and left and saying, this, I just shifted from reading this book. So It's on sale right now at the website, and I'm very, very happy to have it out there. I would welcome you to get a copy of the book. That this is basically this book, 380 pages. We're going to be working from this book in the workshop that's coming up, and there's a lot of trauma release, karmic release, activations for ascension, DNA activations, activating the soul vision, all kinds of interesting stuff. I mean, there's basically a lot of things that I was kind of holding back on in some of the other books because you have to build. This is the book that talks about a lot of the inner workings. So yeah, very happy to share this book with you. And of course, join us for the workshop, and if you can't be there the whole time, it's going to have unlimited replays. And, Mike has been very good about working with people there, helping people get signed on. And, we'll put it up on Ascension Works TV. And so, yeah, please be our guest.
Yeah, and these are really amazing because this is kind of like putting yourself into the role of making a commitment on at least learning, taking some time, dedicated time, to understand how much deeper you could be going in your life. And what I've noticed is that, like, with your workshops, there's so many exercises and practices. If people even just took one of the exercises or practices that you teach out of the many that you teach and try to make that into a daily practice, you can go so much further just with having one dedicated practice. But the problem is having the discipline, the willpower to actually pick a practice, pick a focus, to try to go deeper consistently, try to work with your guides more consistently, however you interpret your guidance system. And that's another question, the how you would interpret the higher self versus the angels. And does it even matter if you're just trying to pull whoever has information that is of my highest good? I'm mm-hmm. ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right on with that, Mike. And thank you for your acknowledgement on that, all of the things about the workshop and the energy techniques. There is so much given. I like to give. I like to help people heal, and I like to study and practice and put this stuff to work in my own life. So as I've learned and transformed my own life and found it to be useful, then I bring it through and bring it through for other people. And, we've had so many stories about people who have changed their lives, whether it's like purchasing properties, healing from cancer, releasing trauma that was haunting somebody all the way from sexual abuse from childhood, clearing negative energies, and other physical healings that have happened, or a partner showing up, just people's lives being, and I'm just so, so thankful to be able to be a channel to help people on this level. I mean, it truly, when you see the magic happening, it's just like you want to keep helping people on that level.
So do you feel like there's some value in discussing the different levels of help that that we have available to us? Is there a way that you pray? Is there a way that you open? Do you kind of want people to use their own technique to find what resonates?
Yeah, I think finding your own technique that resonates is going to be important. If you're used to saying a Christian table prayer and that's just what you always do, and you're not very creative with, then of course, then join us or read the book and get some guidance on being creative. But you know, there have been many teachers out there have said, you know, if the only prayer that you ever said was thank you, it would be enough. You know, so so our words, our thoughts, words, and deeds carry power. And it's just so amazing that we're not truly aware of how much power our thoughts, words, and deeds are carrying down here until we go up to the other side, or we start interacting with the Akashic records. Now, when you get into the Akashic records, you're like in between heaven and earth. You're in between heaven and earth. So you're not fully in heaven, but you're open to it. So it's what it does, and what it's done for me is it starts to become a very slow motion version of a near-death experience. So that doesn't mean you're going to have a near-death experience. I call it in the new book, I call it a near-life experience. So you start having these incremental. So instead of just going, whoa, I jumped out of body in a near-death experience. I came back, I saw Jesus, I saw the aliens, I saw, you know, heaven, I saw, you know, it, we're all love, we're going to be okay, that's great. You know, I almost died, you know, but I came back and that's what I brought with me. So a lot of people can feel that when they hear these near-death experiences, but nobody really wants to have a near-death experience. And, you know, I've said over the course of doing the workshops and stuff, don't, you know, just say a prayer and just say, help me to wake up slowly. I don't want to have to, like, you know, fall out of a plane or fall off a cliff or, you know, be run over or have a heart attack or all of these things. You know, I don't want to have to go that route to be pulled out of body to have this experience. If I'm getting it, no matter what I'm going through in life, if there are physical challenges or health challenges or mental challenges or karmas, that there's something that we've got to work out, as long as we're like incrementally. So slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. And so that's the near life experience, you know. And every time you go into the records or connect in on this level, you're getting ramped up. You're getting ramped up slowly as you move up into this energy. It's gradual, so you might not always be aware of it, but you'll talk to somebody somewhere, sometime, someplace, and they'll say, you know, I don't know what it is about you, but something's different. Something about you has changed, you know, and it's been so gradual for us that, you know, and that's the way it works. So, you know, get in and do the work. I mean, connect with the records.
We had a question come in. Should we sure. read the book before attending the class?
No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to. You could order it if you want, you know, and so you have it available. You'll find the book is very interactive.
A lot of exercises in there.
A lot of exercises. There are 10 guided journeys in the book. And several other energy activations to work with. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It looks like we're about an hour mark now. I guess we could wrap up with a few closing thoughts here.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe you could close us out with what is it that is most helpful for people to be thinking about? Like you said, gratitude, basically being able to say thank you. And I feel like that is just a huge shift for people. Is there anything else that you would add to that? Like how do we go about finding this gratitude more?
I would say if somebody says, well, what does it mean? You're like, so if they were listening to this and they're just finding out about this, or, you know, as we put this out on other platforms, and wow, Akashic Records, okay, I can feel it. It seems like it's important from what you're saying. I'm getting a good vibe on it, but how can I apply this? Think of it as knowing the self, you know. So that was a central message in so many of the sacred texts of ancient times, was to know thyself, to know yourself at a deeper level. So when you go in, you ask about your soul's purpose, you're looking at your conflicts, you're working those out, you know, which involves the forgiveness and the gratitude, but looking deeply. But you're also asking to turn on your inner vision, which, remember, we were saying heaven wants us to be psychic for the right reasons, you know. So you're developing your intuitive gifts. You develop your intuitive gifts. You're working with the intuitive arts. You're developing your psychic awareness. When your soul field comes online, your psychic awareness also comes online. But you start to be able to work with it in a more balanced way, rather than trying to open your third eye on the earth plane without doing any other spiritual work. And then your ego's running the show. It says, oh, well, I want to know this psychically. I want to know this psychically. So knowing the self and becoming more intuitive. And that will also include practicing with looking at the past lives. When you're able to look at the past lives and look into that and develop an inner vision with that, then you're able to look at the future as well. And you're able to look at the current playing field, and you're able to see subtleties with it that you may have not seen before. So we always have a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, we'll do it this way. We'll do it this way. We'll do it this way. And then you get this deeper, and you're thinking, wow, I just got this insight about way that I do things. So I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to think about it. And you'll find all of a sudden there's no conflict around it. And then all of a sudden you can just create it in the way that is perfect for your life.
Yeah. Yeah, one way I've noticed my intuitive abilities opening up back 20 years ago when I first kind of began to actually put some credibility on it. Like, as a child, I just sort of like dismissed it as, you know, like it's not logical that I would have any other information that wasn't coming from me. But then as I was studying these types of materials, I came across the, you know, recognition that I was being given signals even just as I'm driving down the road. And I realized as I get, you know, less angry at other people on the road, you know, the intuition can not only tell me maybe they're having a bad day, I can actually open my heart to them, but my intuition could tell me, maybe you could just not push on the gas so much, give them a chance to get ahead of you long before you even know that they were going to cut in front of you. And then you don't have any trouble on the road anymore. And I find that there are, you know, it's like, you could probably just measure your own level of gratitude for other drivers as your psychic ability to open up to and love to the other drivers as to what they're going through and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And, you know, when you're opening your soul field like that, or you're even just being in the heart, you know, and you're opening your soul field like that, that is good. Your soul field, it will activate your heart and bring your heart into more coherence with your mind. So you have that heart mind balance and your soul field. When you have the heart and the mind in balance, it's powerful. When you have the heart, the mind, and the soul field activated with the heart and the mind, you're in a place of true inner power. You're in a place of you're ready to do some new and interesting things. And that includes doing the same things in life, but just doing them in a new way, you know? So, and one of those would be, you know, driving on, you know, we talk about in the new book, we talk a lot about the unconscious primal self. And that's the part of us that we all have. It's the animal. And that's the part that says, you know, I don't know how you ever got a license to operate a motor vehicle. Get out of my way before I run you over. you know, things like that, you know. I mean, there is, you know, when somebody's trying to get there, you know, when you're trying to get somewhere and you're just like, you know, it is so important that I get to, you know, Home Depot before they close, get off the road, you know, move it or lose it, that kind of thing. And before we know it, we're in it. I mean, it's just automatic. And that's the unconscious primal self. So can we turn it off? No, but we can learn to, we learn to know when it's present. And then we train it just like the inner child, just like the ego and some other parts of the self, to, we acknowledge them with the higher self, and we're becoming, you know, a more fully integrated being. So we need that part of ourself to get out of a harrowing situation. We're going to have it, you know? So let's say we're driving through the woods, and, you know, we're in a small car and we stop at a roadside park, and all of a sudden there's a bear and it turns the car over, and, you know, and it's hungry, and we're like, unconscious primal self activate immediately without even a choice. You know, I'm not saying that's going to happen to anyone, but I mean, just to make an idea, if we have anything that is out of the ordinary. Now, it could be a, you know, if we get borrowed in the dream state, sometimes people just activate into fear, you know, instead of like go into a lucid dream and say, okay, I know what's happening. I can work with this, you know? And so that's, I mean, that could be a whole different discussion and topic, but, you know, just fear. Fear is a big one. And we talk a lot about how to clear that, clear the attractor patterns out of the body in the new book. And we're going to work with that directly. We're going to do some powerful techniques in the workshop for clearing fear, working with the unconscious primal self, the ego, all of it. And of course, activating the soul and the soul field up into the Akashic records and keeping that present, giving you ways to keep that present within yourself.
Yeah. It definitely feels like that fears are so prevalent that we're all almost sharing the same fears and kind of like a field of tension, but that we are here to anchor in light and be a source of a doorway away out of fear, when people can see that we really aren't caught up in the illusion is the way they are. That would, I mean, it feels like fear and illusions are practically the same thing. You can't have fear without having some illusion or distorted perspective that there is something to be afraid of.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So, well, this has been a fantastic discussion, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, just want to invite everybody to connect with Mike and everyone here at Ascension Works TV, and, you know, join us for the workshop. Check out the book on the website, and we'll be putting it out there, putting information out there continually about the workshop. And if you have any questions, please feel free to get in contact, and I can answer any specific questions you might have about doing the work in the workshop. But it will have unlimited replays, and so please be our guest and please join us. Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you guys. Just head on to billfoss.net or ascensionworks.tv and mark June 26th on your calendar. All right, thank you guys.
All right,
thanks Bill.